Lip-smacking good. Hi, everybody out there in Premium Land. Welcome to another episode of Lip-smacking Good, where the motto of this show is, if your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. Today, I got somebody very special. He's hard to tie down because he's a busy man. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Michael Felder, introduce yourself to everybody, sir.
What's going on, folks? I am Michael Felder. You can follow me on Twitter at In the Bleachers Sports. I almost said I'm a sports writer. I'm a sports video analyst now. College football video analyst. Thank you so much for having me on, Karen.
Cool. I am excited that you are here. I have a bunch of questions for you that I'm going to ask you because you're a very interesting person. I think Roderick may have already known you, but I think the first time I was ever introduced to you was the Morning Jones.
Yeah, that's where Rod and I kind of kicked it off was the Morning Jones. And he always used to call in the last hour, and Bo and I did some work together. And so it kind of grew from there. And then you guys, obviously with your own show, listening to that, and I've been on there and doing my own thing, and everything's kind of just exploded where I feel like we all got that, I know the black guy who tips bump is one, but we all got that Morning Jones, like, just push out of the nest.
Right. You know, I think one thing that I love about Bo, and one thing that we incorporated very heavily into the black guy who tips, is that love and family. Sometimes I think so many podcasters treat it like us and them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's us, and then you got the fans, but it's no connection to them.
Yeah.
And Bo always brought us into his world. You know, he allowed us to be ourselves in his world, which I just love, because I remember one of the funniest shows ever. I was sitting at work when you had called it and quit your job live on the air. That was like the greatest moment. And at first I was like, did he really do this? I was like, no, I don't think he planned. I was like, oh shit. So it was one of those things where I was like, you just amaze me, because I look at you and I know that you're black. But one thing that is in this, and I think this is what I've always thought about you. You're black and you understand you're black, but you do not allow that to dictate or to put shackles on what you can and cannot do. It's like you are truly like, the sky is the limit. Yes, I'm black, but I still can do anything that I want to do. And it's just one of those things where just me sitting on the outside looking, it just amazes me. And it was one of those things where it just, looking at you gives me confidence to go, you know what? I can do it too, because it's like, you just like, I could do whatever I want. Fuck what you think. Fuck the haters. I'm going to get into this realm, and I just applaud you for that.
No, that is that's the exact same thing that Chris Lambert said to me when we hung out.
Yeah.
We were in New York City together, and he came to my hotel room and recorded a show, and he came to my hotel, and I was like, well, we'll go get something to eat, then we'll record the podcast. And he was like, we're walking down the street. I was just being regular Michael Felder. Mm-hmm. And he goes, how you just do that? And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, you just gave your empty beer bottle to that white guy. And I was like, yeah. Well, he works at the hotel. Like, that's his job, isn't it? And he was like, yeah, but he took it. And I was like, it's his job to take it. Like, I don't understand. He goes, I never would have thought to do that. Right. And I just was like, listen, I feel, obviously, I recognize that I am black, and black issues are important to me. And the two things that are most important to me are, in the words of my mom said, my mom told me, this is the greatest advice she ever gave me. She said, somebody told her, Rebecca, you got to do this. And she said, I don't got to do shit. All I got to do is stay black and die.
That's right.
And from that, it just was one of those things where my parents pushed me, and they told me, you can do whatever you want, be whatever you want to be, do whatever you got to do. And they never gave, my parents never gave me that you have to work twice as hard speech. They just said, okay, your best is better than everybody's. And they, your best is better than everybody's. And if they're missing out on you, they're the ones missing out. You go be great. And that's just the way that I've basically lived my life. And it's been, it's got me to where I am now. And I'm a man I'm going to buy a house in the spring, and I'm engaged, and I'm very happy. And I do a job that a lot of people would just call a hobby. So I'm very happy, Karen.
Right. And like I said, it's just one of those things where it just amazes me and how you can just move so freely in white culture. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just like, you could just like, hey, this is what it's going to be. This is what it is, you know, and I can move through white culture too. But I also, and I think a lot of it comes from, like you said, old school teaching. And it's one of those things where people want to help you with the reality of your blackness, but to an extent, I can think it can also be a hindrance to you if you allow it to. And as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that we put bars on ourselves, because I would have never thought when I was in my 20s that I would own my own business.
Right.
Like owning my own business was not anything that would have ever crossed my mind. It's just one of those things where it's almost
like you go to work, right. You make money, you come home. That's what you're supposed to do.
And yeah, you get old, you have children, and then you die. Like that is your life. You don't work. Your job is not something that you love to do. It's not something from the heart. You just take somebody's money, stay stuck in a system that's designed for you to only get so far. And it's just one of those things where I think our generation is breaking a lot of the molds, Mike.
Yeah, you have to.
I think our generation is one of the first generations that's sick and tired of the goddamn 9-to-5s. Like more and more people, especially with the internet, and so many people can make money doing non-traditional things now, and working from home and things like that. I think that we're going to set a standard where the generation after us is going to do even better.
Yeah. Well, I work with people, and I'm 29. I turned 30 in November, and I'm one of the oldest people that works in the office for us. And I'm not in the office every day, but when I go to the office, it's 23 and 24 year olds. And people talk trash about those people. There's a lot of people that are in their mid 30s to 40s that talk trash about millennials, about people that are in their mid to younger 20s. Mm-hmm. And all the people that I work with, those guys grind. Yes, right. they like to go out, and they like to get drunk, and they have a good time, but they also work hard. They work in our office, and to a man, every one of them's got a side job that's their passion that they really want to do. And it's great to see, and it's one of those things where a lot of people say, oh, well, this guy was born in 1990. It makes me feel old. And these guys make me feel young. They make me feel like I can go out and conquer the world, as cliche as that is. Like, right. I can go out there and get it done.
Right. And the thing is motivation, because I'm looking like, if somebody a fraction of my age can accomplish shit that I wouldn't have ever thought about, I got the tools to do the same thing and more wisdom. And not to knock their youth, but it's like,
oh, they make dumb choices, right, but they're getting after it.
Right. It's like, they're like, fuck it, I'm gonna make an error, I'm gonna start this company, and if it fails, fuck it, I can always start a company again. You know, just things that I would have never thought of. You know, I'm looking like, should I jump in the water? Like, fuck it, jump, and if I drown, I know I won't die. You know, and that's the mentality that a lot of the youth has, a lot of older people don't have. And like I said, watching you and watching Bo and things like that, it's just one of those things where just the motivation to say that we can accomplish things that we've never accomplished before. And I think moving forward, I think really the best is yet to come. I really do, because I see you and I go, okay, they ain't seen nothing yet. It's like, yeah, they think he's big now. But this is just me on the outside looking in. I was like, they really haven't seen nothing yet, because just to sit and just watch you do the things you do and watch you grind, I'm just in awe. And before, when you was talking about staying at home. How does it feel to be a house husband? well, soon to be house husband, pre-house
soon
husband.
Soon to be house husband. I think we're going to actually get married in December. So I love it. And I love it because I'm home all day and I'm very particular about my thing. So I get to control that. I can control the laundry and how clothes get folded because I care about that. And I can, you know, do the dishes. I can do the dishes when I want to do the dishes, and I do all the cooking. So I get to do the grocery shopping, and the Harris Teeter near me, they are 100% convinced that I am a single father. Yes. They think I'm a single dad. And
did they tell you that?
They think, yeah, no, they're, I see the same. Rod knows when you are when you're at home and you go grocery shopping in the middle of the day, you see the same people every time you go grocery shopping.
Okay, because that's their working schedule. Yeah. Yep.
So you see them all the time, and you see them when there's nobody else in the store.
Right.
So they recognize you.
But them and the mothers is like between the breaks, between like daycare and preschool.
Yep. It's me and stay-at-home moms.
Right.
And they know, they see me, and they think I'm a single father that throws amazing dinner parties. That's what they think. And they are almost correct. I'm an engaged man that does throw amazing dinner parties, but they see me and they're like, cause I talk to myself while I shop.
Right.
And I make lunch for Kristen I try to make lunch for every day.
Oh.
And so she needs this for lunch, and she needs this for snack, and she likes this. And
right.
So they see me, and I roll up, and I've got a huge box of Goldfish.
Huh.
she's an adult that drinks milk.
Right. I love, yes.
You like milk, too?
I love milk.
I don't understand you guys.
And as I got older, I realized people don't love milk as much as me. Be like, I just want enough milk to make my cereal wet. And I'm looking like, your cereal doesn't swim in milk. And they're looking like, no, I'm looking like, you don't know how to drink milk.
I think I stopped eating cereal when I was probably 12.
Oh, no. I'm a big kid at heart.
Imagine drinking milk, Karen.
I cannot explain it to you, but I love milk so much that the doctor started laughing at me. He went to the doctor, and, people don't realize this, but, black people, have a large, deficiency of vitamin D, and you get vitamin D through your skin. That's from being out in the sun. And I didn't know this. And so we were sitting in there one day, and she was like, "Your vitamin D low." I looked at her. I was like, "Oh, this goddamn milk I'll drink." And she was like,
"That's not where it comes from."
Right? She had to explain that to me. She was like, "That's a false, preconceived notion that they feed the public." She said, "But you don't get your vitamin D from the milk." I was like, "D." I was thinking to myself, "Them fuckers lying. I'm drinking all this damn milk and ain't getting no goddamn vitamin D."
No, I started walking in the morning to make sure that my vitamin D gets up. I go for a walk every 3 miles in the morning with the dog, and I feel a lot better.
Yeah, because they said it boosts your energy level. Mm-hmm. You're not as tired. You're not as exhausted. Like, you don't have to be out there doing like the heat of the day, but they say you just need some sun. And they say, you know, and they say it just makes a big difference. So yeah, I'm weird like that. Some of my favorite cereals is the most. They'll make your teeth rot out, but love them.
Gosh.
As I've gotten older, I've learned that, you know, you can't eat that all the time.
Yeah. I can't. Kristen eats, she eats cereal. She drinks, she has milk every morning. And I'm just like, I'm the kid that I remember being in middle school and high school. And, you know, you go to your friend's house for dinner, or you spend the night at your friend's and you guys have dinner together. And the parent would bring out like a glass of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just look at him like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yes, I take milk with my cookies. Yes.
No.
He says no. And you know what? But I think for me, the funny thing about me, and God bless Roger, I am like I'm a huge kid at heart. And he is
so
too.
So you and Kristen would be, you guys could get along with your milk and your cereal. And
yes, candy. I'm a candy fanatic.
Are you really?
Yeah, I have a huge sweet tooth. I had to learn As I got older and I learned what the sugar is, for those diabetes, for those who don't know, for black language, I cut down on sugar on my own accord because like I consume so much sugar. If it was sugar, turned into sugar, had sugar on it, I was eating it. Like, I like candies, anything sweet. And then the foods I ate turned into sugar. So I like the potatoes, the carbohydrates. Like, I loved all that. And you can't consume all that all the time.
Yep.
And so, what happened to me was that I think Roderick's father's mother had diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in her, she's passed now, but when she was in her 60s, 70s, and they was doing her birthday party. She had a cake she couldn't even eat.
Yep.
And that's when it dawned on me. I was like, I don't want to have, and then one of the poor great grandbabies got in trouble. Cause you know, if great grandma say, give me a piece of cake, what that baby gonna do?
You get her a cake.
He gonna get great grandma a piece of cake. You know what I'm saying? And she couldn't eat it fast enough. And somebody caught her and was like, you can't have this. And she was hot. And then they fussed at the baby. And I was like, don't fuss at the baby. He just following instructions.
He's just
like,
following orders.
Yeah. The baby don't know nothing about anything. He just know, great grandma said go get it. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
And that's when it dawned on me. Okay, Karen, I want to be in my 60s and 70s and be able to enjoy a piece of cake. Now, it was a hard transition for me. And you can have withdrawal. You literally can have withdrawals from sugar, but I am so much better now because it's desserts that I used to love that are now too sweet for me. I used to love the hell out of them. Now I eat it and I'll be like, oh my gosh, who poured this bag of sugar in my mouth?
That's like, me with red velvet cake. I don't eat a lot of sweets. I'm more of a savory guy, but
I
ate half of a red velvet cake when I was in high school. And I'll never forget, I was in my grandma's kitchen, and I had to go outside, walk right out of the side door of my grandma's house and just threw up.
Right, because
it was just pink throw up all over the place. And I was like, well, I think I'm done with sweets now. I'm good. Like, I'm done. So I might have, like, one of those tiny, like, half-inch at the back slices of cake.
Okay.
And that's enough for me, because all I can think about is... You can't eat that much red velvet cake. The red velvet cake is sweet. The cream cheese icing is sweet.
Yes. Yes.
It's so rich.
Right. And for me, I don't make it often because it is out of this world. But oh my gosh, I don't know how many calories. And if you eat it all the time, your teeth will probably rot out.
They'll fall out of your mouth.
Right. And I don't make it that often. So I had to find an alternative to it. I like to make this Oreo pie where I get, like, you know how to have the whole big old packs Oreo cookies?
Yep, so you crush them up.
Right, I crush them up, and I use a half a pint of ice cream, a third a cup of sugar. I use a stick of cream cheese.
Ooh.
And I mix it up together, and it normally makes 2 8-inch.
Yeah.
And I normally put in, like, an Oreo crust and put whipped cream on the top and freeze it.
Yep.
When I tell you that thing is outstanding.
Yeah.
But I hadn't made it in years. Like, I rarely make it. And then when I do make it, I always make it and take it over to somebody else's house. Like, I never leave one here. Because
that's exactly what I do.
If I leave it here, we'll eat it. So, for an alternative for that, I love sherbet. And so, I like to do the multicolored sherbet. So, what I do, I get a graham cracker pie crust. And put the multicolored sherbet and put whipped cream and freeze it. It's light. It is not as heavy. But you still get that, I guess, fake yourself ice cream cold flavor thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's light and it's a lot better for you. So that's my alternative to that. But yeah, nah, you can't eat like that often.
I only make red velvet cake at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I deliver them to, I give one to my best friend's family. I give one to Kristen's family and none in the house. We're good. The other things that I make a carrot cake. I make 2 carrot cakes a year I make 1 carrot cake, the full cake. That's for Kristen's birthday. And then I make carrot cake cupcakes for her to take for her class for her birthday. And that's it.
Yeah, me and her sound like we got the same taste buds, because you said carrot cake. I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, I can't. Listen, have you ever made a carrot cake, like, from scratch?
No.
You want to talk about, I made it before I had a food processor, and...
Oh, I bet you that was time-consuming.
So I had, listen, I thought I looked like The Rock. My forearm...
He was cut!
My forearm was so swole up from shaving down from... You got to put the carrots... You got to grate them, like, on a cheese grater.
Oh.
And so my forearm was just swole up. Like, it had a huge knot in it. My hand...
How long did it take you to make that? A five-hour cake?
No, it didn't... Listen, it took me about... The hardest part is shaving down the carrots.
Okay.
So I'm doing this, and my hand was... You know how you get, like, a cramp in your hand?
Right.
That's what my hand looked like. And my whole forearm was swollen. I was just like, this don't feel right. But I made it. But now I got a food processor, so I'm good to go.
Right. And the thing for me is, like, I made a red velvet cake one time from scratch. I'll never do that foolishness again.
No? I love doing it.
I think for me with that, what had happened was that I never realized how expensive making a red velvet cake is, especially if you're going to make it correctly.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. And you know, and now I see why they charge $5 to $8 a slice, and yep, why they charge $45 for a whole pie. I mean, for a whole cake.
Yep.
Because you're spending $20 to $30 just for the ingredients.
Yep. You got to have your canola oil, and you got to have the vinegar, and you got to have the, you got to have the food coloring, which is maybe the most expensive thing. If you're going to rob a grocery store, people, steal the food coloring.
Right.
That's the most.
You get like 1 ounce for $25, and you're like, oh my gosh, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Yep. It's more expensive than gas.
Yeah, for what you're getting, yes. Yes.
It's like, oh, this will be, gas is like $3 or $4 a gallon. This is $3 an ounce.
Right.
Steal that. Don't listen. You're crazy. What are you stealing meat? That goes bad. Steal the food coloring. That's your, listen, if I ever turn to a life of crime, I'm stealing food coloring. That's my crime. I'm going to steal food coloring. I'm going to sell it on eBay. That's my move.
You know what? I don't blame you at all. You are a brunch man. What are your favorite things to cook for brunch?
I usually my favorite thing, I would say frittata, which I just love. It's like, you know, egg pizza, basically.
Oh, because I'm about to ask you what a frittata, you know, and I ask this a lot of times. I've been on ate it. I just don't know what I ate. So that's what I'm
saying. Yeah. It's like an egg pizza. So you take your ingredients. I love pulled pork. If I smoke like a Boston butt, I'll put them pulled pork, spinach, onions, jalapenos in there. Little ricotta cheese. You whip your eggs up like you're going to make an omelet, but then you pour it into the pan, and then you put the pan in the oven, and it bakes.
Oh.
And so you take it out of the pan, you slice it like a pizza, and everybody gets a slice, and it's got pulled pork, it's got the spinach, it's got your onions. It's like an omelet, but it's a frittata, it's an egg pizza. It's so good. That would be my favorite until how much I realized I love poached eggs and Eggs Benedict.
You know what? Now, I love pizza, so I'm definitely going to try the frittata.
Yeah.
But I've never had a poached egg. And every time somebody makes Egg Benedict, that hollandaise mm-hmm. sauce, that shit is terrible.
Listen, I love a hollandaise sauce.
I guess I ain't never had the right one, because I'd be like, ooh, this is nasty.
Why? You know, what does it taste? Too eggy?
I can't explain it. It's just blah. I'm like, you ruined the meal with this. What is this yellow mess?
No, I try to make a light hollandaise sauce. So I add,
you know what? I think that's what it is. I think a lot of times the sauces be very
heavy.
Right. And it's kind of overpowers your meal almost.
Yeah. I like it. I put a little milk in there, and it depends on what I'm making, like what I'm putting on the Eggs Benedict. But if I'm doing like shrimp with cilantro, I put a little cilantro in it to like lighten it up and make it a little more refreshing. Obviously, you got your lime juice, and It's I like it. I didn't realize how much I like poached eggs. And so you break them open and the yolk's a little runny, and I really like poached eggs.
You know what?
So I'm going Eggs Benedict as my favorite thing to make for brunch, okay, but also to eat for brunch.
And I think for me, the most hilarious thing, when you said poached eggs, cause growing up, our eggs were either scrambled or hard boiled. Like, honestly, we didn't eat eggs any other way, you know, or either you had them in a potato salad, you know, chopped up and things like that. But those were on the, so when I started working at IHOP, I was like 16, 17, working at IHOP.
Oh, and people were ordering sunny side up.
Right. And they were ordering all this weird shit. And they would look at me like I was crazy. And I remember one dude goes, "Y'all serve poached eggs?" I go, "Wait a minute, let me check." And he looked at me like something wrong with me.
Yeah, because he's like, "What do you mean? This is one of the most popular breakfasts ever."
Right. And he's looking at me like, "You don't know what a poached egg is?" I'm looking at him like, "Oh, what the hell is a poached egg?" So I was saying, "Hey, we do poached eggs." It was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Well, yeah, we do poached eggs." You know, and it was funny though, because he really gave me that look like, "Word." And I really gave him like, "What the hell is you talking about?" Like, I don't want to look like an idiot going, "I don't know. So let me go find out." And I think that the way they do it at IHOP, they normally do like a bowl and put water in it and put it on the grill and like let it do its thing. And it has like white. And I was like, "Oh."
Yep.
I was like, "Okay, now I get it." But man, I looked at that. I really, after a while, I caught on, but I really looked at him like a deer, you know, caught in the street, like, what the hell? I really looked at him like, "Eggs only come scrambled and hard boiled." Like, I understood hard, you know, and it's funny. I understood hard, and I even understood sunny side up. Only reason why I remember that, understood that, is because I remember two eyeballs looking at you. That's how I remember sunny side up. It just looked, the place just looked like it's glancing back at you. But that poached, I was like, "What the hell is this?"
I love a poached egg. I'm a fried egg guy at my heart. But I like my eggs fried. I like them, you know. I that's how I'd normally take them. But poached eggs are a new kind of just enjoyable experience for me.
I think the first time
you like runny yolks.
You know, I do. When I was younger, no. You know, because like I said, it was all done. Like, you ain't do no over easy eggs. And even when I scramble them, I don't like them scrambled dry.
Yeah.
You know, I like to have some moisture to it.
Right.
And I remember the first time somebody made me, like, over hard eggs. They were over hard, but just a little runny. And I had never had it for a winter, because, like, "Have you ever had an over hard egg?" And I looked at him. I was like, "What the hell is that?" And he was like, "Well, I'll cook it." And he made a biscuit that he toasted on the grill. I was at IHOP. He toasted the biscuit on the grill. He made an over hard egg. And he wrapped a piece of cheese in it and let it cook on the grill and put it in that biscuit.
Yep.
I lost my goddamn mind. I looked at him like, "Oh my gosh, I did not realize an egg could be this delicious." Like,
exactly.
I was just shocked and amazed. It's almost about like the first time I ever had a medium steak.
There you go.
I look like, "Oh my God.
Steak could be this good."
Right. Okay. I thought I was the only one. I look like I don't have to smother it in nothing.
No, you don't need anything. It's juicy enough.
Right. And I was looking at, I can literally cut it. I don't really even need the knife. Why do I have the knife in my hand? I tossed that and started breaking up my fingers because I'm a finger person when I eat. I embarrass Roger because for some reason, I love to eat with my hands. I'm like a little kid. I know you can use silverware, but when we do sushi, everything, I touch it. I'm a touchy person.
Yeah.
So I love to eat with my hands. It's just something about feeling the texture of the food.
It adds another element to the meal.
Right. And I remember I was sitting there and I looked like amazed. Like, my eyes got big and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this steak is everything." And now I understand why white folks look at you like,
what are you gonna burn?
Yeah, they really crazy? Look at you like, "You're gonna burn the hell out of that steak.
Why are you? You might as well eat a shoe."
And you know, and you may as well. And now I can even do like a medium rare now.
Oh, I love that's the only way I take my steak, medium rare. I love it. I'm actually going to go pick up, Yeah, listen, I mean, you want to hear? Listen, I don't care. I'm bougie. I shop at Earth Fair sometimes.
I've never been there before. Everybody says everything.
Earth Fair is like, it's like a nice Whole Foods.
Okay.
It's like Whole Foods has good food, but Earth Fair is like what Whole Foods is, but like no hippies, no. It's just a nice store, and they're just like, we care about the environment. Our prices are going to be higher. But if you can shop here, shop here. And the food is just no lie. It's so good. Like I bought some cowboy ribeyes, like the bone-in ribeye steaks there.
Ooh.
Cooked them up, and Kristen looks at me and she's just like, this might be the best steak I've ever had.
Ooh, I got to try that. Because I've seen it and I've been scared because I was like, I don't know if I won't go home.
I'll tell you right now, today is the last day, but they got lobster on sale. And it's like two small tails for $9.
Ooh.
So
that's a deal.
Tails, yeah, $9 total. So two tails for $9. I'm going to get that. I'm going to make some lobster rolls. I'm excited.
Ooh, I cannot wait to step in there because it's one of those things. Like I tell people, Harris Teeter, I love Harris Teeter.
I do too.
I know Mr. Teeter make a lot of money off of me.
Hey, same here.
It's more expensive. A lot of people say expensive. But I tell people, you get what you pay for. Do you want to know how beautiful it feels to walk in the day before Thanksgiving and all 25 of the lanes open up and you got people outside walking people's stuff to their car and but you still have somebody walking, you know, helping you up and down the aisle and, you know, you go to the butcher section and the butcher actually knows what the fuck he's talking about. You go to the seafood section, they actually know what kind of fish, if you got questions.
And how to cook it.
Right. So, because a lot of times I'm looking like, what? And they even have like its own cheese section. Like,
I love the cheese. Like, listen, I try once a week to buy a new cheese.
Right, because it's almost, you know how you go to the bar, people? It's like a fucking cheese bar. It's like a whole round and round of cheese. And the way the one I go to off of Moorcroft, it got the cheese and the pizza section all in the same.
That's the Harris Teeter Taj Mahal there.
Right, that Harris Teeter is one of the best because once a year, every year is an expansion. And they remodeling. Mm-hmm. Like, when I tell you, you get your fucking money's right there. When they remodeling, I don't even feel bad because I go, well, my money has went to whatever they're fucking finna upgrade.
Yep. And they do. They upgrade it all the time.
Right.
I will tell you this, though. That Harris Teeter used to be the greatest Harris Teeter in America. The new Harris Teeter on Central. The original Harris Teeter.
The one they rebuilt.
They rebuilt it.
I gotta go
over there. It is the nicest store, Karen. It is so nice. Right across from Whiskey Warehouse.
Right. Isn't that one a double decker one?
It does not have upstairs.
Okay.
It looks like it has upstairs. Yes. But I don't think it does.
Okay, because I've been by it. And I was like, this is a big ass Harris Teeter ship.
It's humongous. It is so nice. Great. Obviously, like Harris Teeter's, for a grocery store, Harris Teeter is as good as it gets.
Right. And also, I think, have you been to the new one off of, what is it, Park Road, you know, over there off of, near Randolph Road? Have you been to that one? Because that used to be like a little box, and they just expanded it.
The one that, no, they made it, it used to be the Harris Teeter Express, and they made it a full Harris Teeter.
Right, which I was like, because you would go in there, you was like, what? You got all these people that live in this area, and you got this tiny ass Harris Teeter.
Well, to be fair, they were sending all those people. They were like, "Listen, why don't you just go to the Harris Teeter on Park Road?"
Right, which is literally up the street, right?
Right up the street. But they were like, "Oh, you know what? Let's just make this a full size Harris Teeter."
And the thing about it is that literally, guys, they're less than 2 miles apart, but they both get enough business where one doesn't affect the business of the other one.
It's such a good store.
Right, where people was like, fuck it, this one's closer.
Yep. And it's. I remember I used to live over there off of in 1420 Magnolia, the apartments right across from like Angry Ales. And we used to go, it was easy to get out of the parking lot. So if I had to get beer, I'm making a ride out of my apartment, going straight to the Harris Teeter Express, going home. If I had to go real grocery shopping and I want to walk around, I go to the one at Park Road.
Okay.
And it was just, that one was easier to get to, a little bit further, but easier to get to because it was a straight shot. The Park Road one, closer, and I knew I could just get there, go get my stuff, and get out. Like, it was just so, having two Harris Teeters that close was amazing.
Right, because it's one thing that where we are now, Harris Teeter is not as close, but you know, we actually ride out to it. Like, fuck it, we're riding out to the Harris Teeter.
Yeah, go. It's worth it. I drive past a Food Lion and a Walmart to go to Harris Teeter when I grocery shop.
Okay, we do too. Don't feel bad. I'll be looking like, because it's a thing where when I buy, especially if you want like fresh meat and
yes.
fresh seafood.
Yep.
I was like, no, because I don't want to buy something and I don't know if it's been there 3 days. Like, mm-hmm. literally, I'm like, no. Mm-mm. And I've learned things about meat and how meat's supposed to look. I watch a lot of Food Network, so I know, you know, red meat is supposed to actually be fucking red. Yeah, I mean, yes. I'm trying to, you'd be amazed how many people don't know that. Like, it's simple things, and
why they call it red meat.
Right, and you're supposed to smell the food, mm-hmm. like, to be sure to check and see if it's spoiled or not. Like, little things like that I really wasn't taught, you know, because, like I said, growing up, when I wanted to learn how to cook, my mom always kicked me out of the kitchen. So then when I need to learn how to cook, when I need to learn how to cook, my mom was like, no, when she wanted me to learn how to cook because I needed it as a skill, I was like, fuck that, I'm into little boys and all other kind of stuff. So it was like, she missed that phase, the phase where she really needed to catch me. So I learned how to cook in college, and being 18 and cooking for the first time, it was something else. I think now I'm a lot more comfortable with cooking. I wish that my mother was better at instructing recipes, because she's older. She's in her 60s or 70s. She's almost 70. I think she's a little over 70. And she can't do a lot of things that she used to do. So my personal goal is, before she dies, is to ask her, you know, about potato salad, and ask her what all she buys. I'm about all the ingredients, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to let her tell me how to make it.
That's my mom, I've got a little brother, and we grew up the same way, you know, that your parents treat you the same, and mm-hmm. they do everything the same. And my little brother can't cook to save his life. And he makes grilled cheese in the microwave.
Oh.
He puts toast in the toaster. Then he puts the butter on it. Then he puts then he puts it in the microwave to make grilled cheese.
Oh, I bet you that's the nastiest shit.
It is nasty. It's disgusting.
Yes, that's not a grilled cheese sandwich. That's like toast with cheese.
So and the difference is I wanted to learn to cook. And so she was very, you know, we talked about this before, but my mom was very encouraging. And so if my little brother didn't want to learn, he didn't want to be in the kitchen.
Yes,
she didn't make him be in there.
Right.
And for me, I wanted to be, I'm a mama's boy and a grandma's boy. Like, I was in the kitchen, and it went from, hey, Michael, can you clean these greens, to can you watch the greens? Can you add the salt or add the bacon or add this to the greens? And I picked up stuff from watching. And I was in there. I was in the kitchen from when I was probably 3 or 4. You know, like, I was the one that was 3 or 4 doing the wiping the greens off before you soak them in the sink. So I was doing that when I was a little kid. And then I got to actually put them in the sink and change the water and add the vinegar. And then I got to go from there to pulling the stems out. And I got to use a knife to cut the stems out. And then I got to cut them. And then I got to put them in the pot. And I got to cook them down and add the ham hocks. And now we use turkey because we're being heart healthy.
Right.
And so I got to do – but that, like, greens were – it's kind of a metaphor, not a metaphor, but because it's very literal. That's how I got to get to be in the kitchen. And so when your mom's cooking Thanksgiving or Christmas, I'm working on the greens to the point where in high school, I just made the greens myself.
Ah, I'm terrible at greens.
Really?
Yeah. First time I cooked greens, I cooked them in a crock pot. It was terrible.
I don't brag on myself a lot, but I can cook greens and.
Oh, I put like this. I can guarantee that you can. Growing up as a male and cooking, were you ever teased and picked on? Because you know how cooking is always looked as a female thing to do. Like, did anybody even challenge your manhood? It was like, man, you cook for your woman. Like, did you ever have to deal with that?
I think it's actually been more less growing up. Growing up, people were just amazed that someone could cook. Because, you know, when you're in high school and you guys decide to have a cookout and everybody wants to buy frozen burger patties.
Right.
And then one guy's like, hey, let's just get the raw hamburger meat. It's cheaper. We can use spices and it tastes better.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, wow. How do you know how to do that?
Oh.
I'm like, because I cook. And then in college, the girl I dated in college, they were just like, he can cook. This is amazing. Right. You need to marry him.
Right.
And so it came after, and it wasn't so much the cooking, which I think if you can cook, it doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, gay, straight. If you can cook,
right,
people will respect you and love you because you make the good food that goes into their bodies.
Right.
I think it's more doing the grocery shopping and all that stuff that people don't respect nearly enough. And so there have been people, and I think it's a lot of people that don't understand that I'm very comfortable with who I am.
Right.
So they try to project their own little, that's gay, or what are you, a woman? And I'm like, well, I'm just so you know, buddy, not only can I cook, but when my mom needs plumbing done, she calls her son up, and I go over there and I replumb. I do in-wall plumbing these days, so.
Wow.
I could do a lot of stuff, and cooking's just one of the skills that I have, and it's the one I enjoy, because I'll tell you what, ain't nothing like sweating your behind off underneath the sink to let you know that you'd rather be in the kitchen.
Any day of the week, right? Any day.
Yeah.
Like, if I got to choose, this is not where I want to be.
I'd rather be sweating over a pot stirring gravy than sweating underneath a sink with that. You know, listen, I wish all women would shave their heads just to be, and men too. If you got long hair and you're a man, cut it off. If you got long hair, if you're a woman, cut it off. The amount of hair that goes into drains is criminal.
Oh. Yeah, because a lot of times that's why most of them get clogged up from hair.
Oh, yeah. And it seems to me that the person that has the long hair never does the unclogging.
Oh, no. Why should you worry about that? You just wash and go.
I have pulled out my mom doesn't have really long hair. She's got shorter hair, but her sink has built up so much hair in it.
From just the sitting and sitting over the years, because sometimes it takes a very long time.
I took all the plumbing out from underneath the sink, took it outside, put the pressure washer in it, and just blew out all the hair.
Oh.
She's like, it's like I have a whole new sink. And I was like, Mom, do you realize how much work this was?
Yeah. She don't use Drano or anything like that to keep that constantly? Because, you know, that stuff kind of.
Drano's, that's like putting a Band-Aid on it.
Uh-oh.
That's like putting a Band-Aid on it.
Wow.
You got to, because ultimately what you're going to have to do is get in there and actually physically remove that hair.
Oh, okay.
Ultimately. Look, this is not plumbing talk with care. I know
right.
A lot about plumbing, but to get back to the thing, no one makes fun of me for cooking. They make fun of me for going grocery shopping and for clipping coupons and for being excited when you know this, Rod and I, well, we tweet at each other when the sales come out of Harris Teeter.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Oh, I've got no problem with it. I'm sorry that if you're a man and you're not comfortable enough with yourself, that some other guy being happy about T-Bone going on sale or Progresso Soup being buy two, get three free, that makes you uncomfortable. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but Progresso Soup, buy two, get three free, guess what? That's a good deal.
Say that again. That's a sale. You better get it while you can.
Look, I will say, somebody got on me the other day because I use Vaseline Intensive Care Lotion.
Okay.
Which has tremendously changed their formula because I would not use it before.
Okay.
But they have improved their formula. They've got the cocoa butter lotion now.
Okay.
And their lotion is thick.
Okay. Okay. Do you get
I know what you're, I know exactly what you were thinking immediately was that lotion is like water.
Oh, you know, I put it like this. I like thick lotion.
And they've improved the thickness of the lotion.
Cause I'm an ashy girl. I like, woo.
So am I.
You know, you mess around and you put water on my skin. Mm-mm. 15 minutes later, I'll be looking like, God damn it.
Exactly. So they've improved their lotion formula. And I only buy specific types of it.
Okay.
But I was on the thing and they had the lotion on sale at Harris Teeter. And then I clipped some coupons and I had $2 off coupon.
Ooh.
And then I saw an Evic coupon that was $2 off too. And I was like,
hey,
it's on sale. I can hit the multiplier. Plus, use my regular coupon.
Right. Harris Teeter be on it.
I'm saving money.
Right. And I don't blame you. I want to ask you a question about cast iron pans. How do you properly take care of them?
Oh, I've got two of them. And I've got two pans. I've got another small skillet that I use for grilled cheese. I love them, and you have to take care of them. The best thing that what I usually do with mine is I cook in them, and then I let them cool off. I scrape out what's in there, and then what I do is I put water in, boil the water in the pan. And when you boil the water in the pan, it takes all of the food that you've cooked, takes that out.
Okay.
Dump it out, and then I oil it again and put it in the oven for a little while to make sure that the oil sticks. Do not ever put them in the dishwasher. Don't ever use soap on them.
I already broke that rule.
don't put them in the dishwasher.
I didn't know.
Never use soap.
I pulled that thing. I was like, uh-oh, did I mess this up?
No, yeah, yes. They will rust. I've got the cast iron skillet that I have is from, I think it's from 1974.
Oh.
It's my grandma's. My grandma had a stroke in 2007. She actually had, I think she had 25 small strokes. And
ooh.
She was in rehab for a little while, like learning to walk again, learning to use her. She's got full movement of her body and everything, but the doctor said she cannot cook, and she certainly cannot use. She can't lift up a cast iron skillet
because they're very heavy.
Yes, and so she gave that one to me, and that's part of her that's in my kitchen every single day. It's part of her that's in my. But I learned how to cook with her and. She let me be in the kitchen and wash the greens. So it's a part of her that's in my kitchen every day. And it's cool to see where she gave me that. And it opened up like her with cooking with her. And she let me cook over the summer when I spent summers in Fayetteville. And it opened up a world to me of fun and of enjoyment. And so it's nice to have her there with me. And she knows I use it, and I send her pictures, and it's nice.
What are some of your favorite stories that she would share with you about, like, her cooking and her cooking process?
Well, we got my grandma's from, she's born in Mississippi, and she ended up growing up in the Boot Heel of Missouri. So they make this thing called hot water bread.
Ah.
Which I still can't make, and I don't know if it's cornstarch or it's cornmeal, and I don't know how to make it. My dad doesn't know how to make it. We're trying.
Wow.
We're trying.
Have you Googled it and was like, this don't taste like it, this don't taste like it?
Yeah, it's not even a thing on Google.
Probably because it's so old school. Like
it's so old.
Okay. Yeah, you probably have to look for like really, really, really old recipe books.
And so we're trying to make that, but it's just, she used to talk about how my great grandma, her mom made hot water bread and it was amazing. And it's like a dry bread that soaks up all the juice from the greens and all the gravy and soaks everything up. It's so good.
Oh, that sounds like everything.
Yeah, it's so good. And so we're trying to make that, but we'd be in the kitchen and she'd talk about how, you know, I can cook. My grandma could cook. She was great. And she was a fan. Before the stroke, she could cook and she would make anything and she was great at it. And she used to just talk about how her mom was a better cook than her.
Wow.
And she was just like, I just want you guys to know how to be able to take care of yourselves. And the whole thing that was there, that was my mom. That was my grandma's whole thing. That was my mom's whole thing. That was my dad's thing was my parents are both teachers. At this point, my parents were both teachers. They're both assistant principals now, but they were teachers and they worked with young teachers.
Okay.
And so they would be like these young teachers, so they got a snippet into a 23-year-old, their life every day. Because they mentored new teachers. And so they got to see what a 23-year-old's life was like. And it was a lot of TV dinners and eating out and,
right.
You know, buying prepared meals. Mm-hmm. And my mom and dad were both like, listen, we got to teach you how to cook because the amount of money that you can save just from knowing how to make your own lasagna instead of buying a prepackaged lasagna.
Right.
And you can, and if you live by, in their mind, they're thinking their son's going to get out of college. He's going to be single. He's going to have to eat. And they're thinking you can make this lasagna and you can eat it all week.
Right.
Instead of eating out every day and spending money. And so that was big for them to make sure I knew how to do simple stuff. And little did they know that I was already picking up stuff from grandma and from mom and learning how to cook. So it all worked out. It worked out great because I ended up when I was dead broke living with my mom, I used to make food and I used to cook for my mom. That was part of my staying at home was I did the laundry. I took the trash out. I worked every day and I made sure that my mom had lunch and that she had dinner.
Oh.
And so I would cook and she would come home and she'd be like, too much salt in that. Dial down the salt. It's not healthy for you. Or this tastes really, really good. And that was that was just the two of us living together, doing our thing. And that was it. And it was nice. So that's what we talked about in the kitchen was being prepared for life. And then, you know, regular stuff like, you know, you just have, how is school and are you excited for this? And I know you want to go to Carolina. Are you doing everything you need to do to go to Carolina? And it was nice. It was really nice. Like we had great times and then. And you know how it is. And I don't think it's a black thing. I think it's a southern thing.
Yeah.
Where everybody's in the kitchen together.
Right. Like everybody got around food.
Yeah. Everybody's in the kitchen together and you spend time together. And I think that part really appeals to me is the part where not that I'm the center of attention because I'm in the kitchen, but the food's the center of attention.
Right.
And we get to be around it.
Did you?
And we get to talk and we get to catch up with each other for the day. Or if I haven't seen you in 6 months and it's Thanksgiving, we get to catch up that way.
That's true too. Did your daddy ever cook?
Oh yeah. My dad cooks. I'm a better cook than my dad.
He said, not to brag, you know, but
not to brag, but my dad does cook and my parents are divorced now, but my dad made sure. He was like, listen, I'll never forget one of the things he said. You got to learn how to cook. You don't need no woman out there cooking for you. They don't make them like your mom no more.
They don't make them like your mom no more.
And it was one of those things that you're right, Dad. And it was, and you know, we talk about feminism and the whole deal, but it was one of those things where my dad was just like, women aren't for the kitchen. Women are, they're going to live their own lives and you need to be able to live your life too.
Right. And I think that, just a change in society and just women actually going into the workforce changed a lot of that because you didn't have women staying at home.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the structures of the meal changed and a lot of people, like, it takes too much time. Mm-hmm. But what I realized especially with the invention of a crock pot, like, you know what? I love Roderick. Roderick is beginning to be very, very good at cooking with the crock pot. because it's a set it and forget it. But when it's done, it is absolutely marvelous.
See, I'm a fidgeter. I like to fidget and touch stuff. I meddle. So I can't cook on a crock pot.
Okay.
I'm too busy. I'm a busybody. I like to touch stuff and see what it's doing and open it up and then close it and look at it.
I am guilty of that too. But I think, with the crock pot, you know how certain things kind of fit certain people's styles. I think the crock pot fits more of his style of cooking. Like he can cook.
Well, he's so busy during the day.
Right. Right. Yeah. Especially with the podcast recording and just going mm-hmm. and he exercise and play ball, like during the day. We go out to lunch. So he's constantly going. Now he does make this, coconut shrimp thingy that's out of this world. It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious. So, because for a long time for him, it was just breakfast.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of him for branching out. You know, I don't criticize anybody for their cooking. If you're willing to try, yeah, I
just
want to
see you,
you
try.
Right. Because trying is half the battle. And that's how you kind of improve. Mm-hmm. Is from it not turning out right, it not tasting right, you burning it, it not looking right, it's, you know, the wrong color. Because I've had that happen before where things was like the wrong color, but it tastes delicious, but I'm like, that's supposed to be green. But, you know, just things like that where you just kind of just like, this didn't work right. You like knickknacks. What are some of your favorite, like, appliances to work with?
Yeah, I'm a gadget guy. I've got a food processor, a 14 cup Cuisinart food processor that I love.
Ooh, I got one. Mine is tiny. I need to upgrade. I got one of the really, really, it's probably, who knows, probably 8 ounces. It's tiny, but
I got the jam that's on, like when you see it on the Food Network, I got the same one that Ina Garten uses from Barefoot Contessa.
Ooh.
I love this thing. Salsas. So it does everything.
Okay. It's almost like a one in all. Like you can really get it to do everything. And what is it? The KitchenAid. Do those?
I don't have one of those yet.
Okay, because I see the KitchenAid, and it's like KitchenAid is like the Mercedes Benz.
Yes.
Of like, like for those of you that don't know about appliances,
the stand mixer.
Right, and I see it. And I see the infomercials, and I have to turn the TV off because I was like, oh, my gosh, I feel like here's my credit card. And I say, no. And then I see him at Walmart, but it's a smaller version. I put it like this. It's like if I'm going to get a new car, I don't want to get the lower level of it.
I don't need the compact. Right. I
want the whole thing. You know, I want the thing where you pull the level and the, you know, the whole bowl goes down. You know, I think that it's like a bread maker, mixer.
Well, the scary thing for me is that I do a lot of stuff rustic, like very rustic style. Like I've got the time in my day that I can make pasta from scratch.
Right. And that's what, as a pasta maker, like it literally does everything.
Well, what I'm scared of, Karen, is that if I get this KitchenAid thing, I've got a pasta press, like the old school Italian hand crank pasta press.
Yes.
I've got one of those.
Ooh.
With the fettuccine and spaghetti attachment and with a ravioli attachment.
Ooh.
So I've got one of those, and I've got a meat grinder, hand cranked meat grinder / sausage stuffer.
Oh my.
So, and I use them. And so like for me, if I don't, and this is a testament to my mom, I don't eat sirloin steak.
Okay. What's wrong with it? Is it like the
it just doesn't taste as good as a steak.
Okay. Sirloin steak is, I ain't trying to be funny, it's not top of the line steak.
It's good for fajitas.
Right.
I love it in burgers.
Yes.
And so what I do is I'll buy the good sirloin, cut it into chunks, run it through the meat grinder, make really, really good burgers.
Hmm.
They taste great. Of hand ground beef burgers. And if I get the KitchenAid, I know I'm just going to buy the attachments. I'm never going to hand crank anything ever again.
Now, I believe you, but it's like a one-shop stop. You know, because I see it and I'm like, oh my gosh, that, I really look at that like that is everything. You know how back in the day.
It's the greatest invention right, of all time.
You know how back in the day when the, who is it? The vacuum cleaner people. Who is it? It used to be like the old man. They would do like the infomercials, be like, I vacuum cleaner. Yes. It's like watching one of those where you're looking at it and you like, you will change my life. That's how I look at that. Like, you will change my life.
I'll tell you what. Speaking of vacuum cleaner, we got a Dyson ball.
Oh, how is it? I've seen those. Is it worth it?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, because like I've seen that, and you know how you watch TV, and mm-hmm. you like, I don't believe it, because so many of them psych you out. I think one of the only things that I ever bought on an infomercial that ever did what it was supposed to do was a George Foreman grill. Everything else has lied to me in my lifetime. So I look at it, and I'm like, but I see it, and it goes everywhere, and I'm looking at that ball going, can it really do that? Like, that's what I questioned. I was like,
oh, it's amazing. I don't vacuum. I'm not very good at it. I've never been, but this thing makes me feel like I could vacuum a lot more.
You don't become the vacuum king, vacuum king, do you?
He's like, I could. I never vacuumed. My little brother had allergies growing up. And so.
Oh, so he made sure he was on top of it because I got to be able to breathe.
He was a vacuum guy. And so I always mowed the lawn. He always vacuumed.
So
he got very good at vacuuming and I never did it.
Does it have attachments?
Oh, this thing's got attachments. We use it in the couch. We don't have to get a lot of dog hair out of the couch anymore because I've got the dog. The dog doesn't get on the couch. He doesn't get on the beds. He doesn't do any of that stuff.
Okay.
But we got the attachments for like the stairs and for.
How about the top of the ceiling fan?
It's got that too. Yes. Okay. And the problem is we only have one fan here, which okay. I could use way more than one. But when we buy a house, we're putting ceiling fans in all the rooms.
It keeps the circulation through the house. Yep. And you don't have, your air doesn't have to be as low and your heat doesn't have to be as high.
Yeah. I'm a ceiling fan guy. I mean, I don't know anyone that's from the South that doesn't love, I don't know. It's not even a South thing. I don't know anyone that doesn't love ceiling fans.
Right. Because even if you have your own, it just keeps air moving. Because your air becomes very stale.
Keeps it circulating.
Right. Your air becomes very stale. Whenever you prepare a meal, what inspires you? Or is it just random?
No, I think there's a couple things that inspire me. One, if I'm making an old dish, like something that my mom used to make or grandma made, I like to try and stay as true to that as I can.
Okay.
And if it's macaroni and cheese, and my mom was great at making macaroni and cheese, I try to make sure I'm making the macaroni and cheese the way that she would do it. And that means, and even as I elevate it with like, you know, Gouda or, some special cheddar that I've got or whatever, it means putting Velveeta in that macaroni and cheese because that's what my mom does. And I'm sorry, but you can make all the fancy macaroni and cheese you want. But if you don't put no damn Velveeta in that, you don't got me.
They ain't got you.
Velveeta is, listen, you can talk down about it. People can talk down about it all they want, but you put a little Velveeta in that. But you don't have to put all, Velveeta is not going to be your base cheese.
Right.
But you put a little bit of it, it's going to taste better.
And one thing I have to give Velveeta credit for. They've improved the cheese over the years. Like,
yes.
I think a lot of people haven't had it since they were children. So right. They don't realize the quality and taste of it literally has improved a lot.
They've improved everything that we used to eat is better now. I mean,
right.
even down to, I watched an old Deion Sanders stuffed crust pizza commercial.
Oh my.
And the commercial, it literally says on the screen, processed cheese. And now they make it with real cheese. They use real cheese in that stuff now, which is not what they used to do. I think everyone is realizing that, hey, we got to use better ingredients. And Velveeta is, they're not immune to that. They're using better ingredients. They're making better cheese. And so to answer your question, so when I'm doing that, I try to do that. And then I also try to make something that I think that Kristen, my fiance, that makes something that she's going to like.
Okay.
And something that she loves Italian food. So I've spent a lot of time, and that's why I have the pasta press, and I make my own sausage, and I make my own pasta sauce, and I want it to be something that she's going to think, this is one of the best things I've ever eaten. And it's her, that's what I do every single day during the week. And when I have people over, it's the same thing. I want this to be something that people eat it and they think, this was really good. I'm glad I came over for this meal.
Right. Because it actually means something.
Yeah.
And I think for me, for a lot of women, and I've said this before, men cooking is a turn on. I think a lot of men really, especially men that are really heavy into traditional roles, quote unquote, really don't understand that it actually helps a woman in the house. You know, when she walks in and she doesn't have to prepare a meal or think about preparing a meal or think about.
Especially we're at a point now where she works just as hard as you do.
Right. And then sometimes works more hours, you know, because.
Then why does she have to come home and then also do the extra work? If you got home before her, why are you not just doing this?
Because you both live there.
Right. It's our house. It's not her. It's like, what are you like? So that for me, and that's why I make Kristen's lunch, is because I grew up where both of my parents worked and both of my parents were teachers. And I recognize that, you know, what would have really helped my mom and dad if they had someone that made lunch for them.
Right.
Go eat. They wouldn't. There are a lot of days where my mom and dad either did not eat lunch, ate a bad school lunch.
Right.
Or sent someone out and ate trash. Yeah. Like they ate junk food for lunch. And so if I can just do that little extra to give her a lunch so she can go to school, have a home cooked meal in the middle of the day when kids are stressing you out and your coworkers are stressing you out. If you can just have that little piece of home in the middle of the day with a note that says, "Hey baby, I love you." Right. Like that means something.
And it'll make your day. And it's one of those things where it actually, you're like, you know what? I can make it through the rest of the day.
Exactly. And that's what it means a lot. And so that's why I do that. And I agree with you. I don't understand why if you're going to split rent down the middle and you split your utilities, you should probably split the roles in the house too.
Right, and there's no male or female. I think a lot of people really get too caught up into that.
Yes.
But I just think whatever, for me and my husband, it's ours.
Yes. This is our house. Right. This is our apartment. Right. This is our townhouse. This is our, we have to eat food so that we can live.
Right. And that's how I view it. If he makes more money, we make more money. If I make more money, we make more money. You know, like that's literally how I view it. I don't look at his and mine.
Yep, it's ours. And I just put her on my cell phone plan. I have a family share plan now.
We've been on that it took a while, but we was like, why are we paying two separate ones? So, you know, it's like, fuck it. Let's just combine bills.
The bill for the family share plan is cheaper than my bill by myself.
Right, because they give you such a discount to combine the family.
So it's great. But it's our cell phone plan and it's we eat dinner together. And so it's one of those things where I look at this and she's better at certain things than I am. And
right.
I'm better at stuff than she is. And there's things that I hate doing. I hate vacuuming. I hate cleaning bathrooms.
And so she takes care of that.
She takes care of that. Right. She hates taking out the trash. She hates it. I take out the trash.
Right. And that's kind of how it is here, because even with Roderick, when Roderick cooks, he puts dishes in the sink and then he leaves the kitchen. So you know what I do? Hey, you took the effort to cook. So you know what I'm going to do? Empty the dishwasher, put all these dishes in the sink. Like, hey, you cooked. I don't have a problem. I didn't have to cook. Like I know a lot of people complain. I don't have a problem putting the dishes in the dishwasher. You prepared a meal that I didn't have to prepare. No problems.
We see. I like putting the dishes in the dishwasher and cleaning up the kitchen. It's weird, but I feel comfortable, and it's when I get a chance to, because I get so worked up. I'm so worried when I cook. about making sure that it looks good.
Okay.
So I can give me a good pic on Instagram.
And they're beautiful.
I try to make sure it looks good. But then when I get done cooking, it gives me a chance to kind of be alone in the kitchen, drink a beer, and put stuff the way that I want it and be done, because the kitchen, again, is still my area.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like your baby.
Yeah. And so I'd rather me do it. I'd rather me do it than her do it, especially because I know that, listen, you had a long day at work. You were with kids all day, like they're picking boogers, eating snot, like,
right.
Stop. Just, you don't have to do this. Let me just do this.
Right.
Like, you've dealt in enough filth today.
For everybody.
Let me do this.
What, food events, do you look forward to? Or do you even go to any food events?
I don't like to eat a lot of street meat.
Okay.
But I like going to Food Truck Fridays.
Okay.
Because it gives you like inspiration.
Ah.
A lot of inspiration. You see like things that you wouldn't think go together, and then you can kind of like Asian with Mexican together, and I saw it on a food truck where they had Asian slaw on a taco.
Ooh, that's different.
But it tastes so good. That, you know how Asian slaw is so crisp?
Right. And crunchy.
And it's on with like a shrimp. It was on a fish taco when I saw it. I put it on a shrimp taco, and I saw it on a food truck, and I was like, listen, I can make that Asian slaw. Put it on shrimp tacos. Crisp, crunchy, delicious. So I like going to Food Truck Fridays. It's so inspiring just knowing what ingredients you can put together to make something. I don't like going to barbecue festivals anymore, though. I don't like it anymore. I love barbecue. It's delicious. It's the best food. I think it's the best food out there. You can turn it into anything. Once you make the pork, once you make pulled pork, it can be an omelet. It can be a pizza. It can be a taco.
Yes.
It can just be a pulled pork sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that, but it's so busy, and there's a lot of people there that I don't want to say not respect it,
and don't appreciate
it. I sound like a snob.
No, but I feel you. It's like they really don't appreciate the cut of the meat and what you can do with the meat and how versatile the meat is.
They don't like the nuance of it, the little thing, like the little pieces of, like, or just a little, the stuff that goes, as someone that I use my smoker in the off season, I use it a lot, and I smoke chickens, but smoking a Boston butt is my favorite thing. And I love cutting into it just to look and see the smoke ring around it where the smoke penetrates the actual meat.
Mm.
And I love that. And so you don't get to feel that because the people at the barbecue thing, they don't want to talk barbecue. All they want to do is get the food out.
Right, right.
And then the people there just want to eat it and hang in. I just want to talk about barbecue. Love it.
It's not the same. Have you ever thought about going into a competition or anything like that?
No. This is a lot of people. You know, Nada Edwards, Nada the Scribe?
Mm-hmm.
He keeps trying to get me to go on MasterChef. And Kristen wants me to go on Master Chef, and a bunch of other people are like, you should be on a Master Chef, the show on Fox, the home cook show where they all battle it out. You could be on that show. And people are like, you should try to open a restaurant. I don't want to be on any of that stuff. And I don't want to do any of that stuff. Cooking for me is a vacation from work.
Right, right. Because it's something that you don't want to become work.
Exactly.
And there is the difference. There's some people where it's their passion and they love it so much that they, like, to them, a restaurant isn't work to them. You know, like for us, podcasting isn't work. Right.
Where for me, although it is work, but for me, college football is my job. And I love college football.
Right.
But I've taken something that was a hobby and turned it into my work where I probably work 70 hours a week, maybe 80 some weeks. And I don't want to do that for cooking too.
Cause that's a lot. Like that's a lot. And like you say, it's your way of escape.
Yep. That's how I get out. That's how I get out of college football, is I cook. And
Right. And so for you, it would be more of a work thing. So I completely understand that. What is your favorite thing to eat that you don't make?
Ooh, to eat that I don't make?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. That's the problem there is I always think, hey, I could make this or I could make it better. But I tell you, there's one thing that I know that I can never make and I'll never make it as good. Pound cake. Pound cake is my, I eat it in, when I get a pound cake from my mom, I eat it in the morning for breakfast. I have a slice after lunch.
Do you put ice cream on it?
I will put ice cream on it after dinner.
Yes.
But my favorite way to eat pound cake, take the pound cake, put it on a napkin, put it in the microwave for 15 seconds, eat it with my hands. You don't need a knife to eat pound cake.
No.
Just eat it with your hands. I'll never be able to make pound cake the way my mom can. And it's amazing. It's one of those things. Like, I have friends that I grew up with. Their parents call me to say, hey, is there any way that you can get your mom to make us a pound cake?
Is that good?
It's the best. I love my two favorite desserts are key lime pie.
Yes.
And red velvet cake.
I am a key lime pie chick.
Yeah, so am I. Hey, anytime I go to a restaurant and I see key lime pie, I'm like, can I get it to go?
Right. If Roger does not understand, I automatically order it. And he's like, why? I was like, because it's a rarity. And most people, because it's so time consuming, dealing and messing with the key lime and all that crap, most people don't make it like at home because it's like, I don't want to peel. I don't want to have to deal with the juices and all that stuff.
So good.
But there's nothing like a good, rich and creamy key lime pie with a slice of key lime in it.
It's so good. I love key lime pie. But that being said, my favorite thing, because I don't even count pound cake as a dessert.
Oh, it's not a dessert.
It goes with coffee in the mornings for people. It goes with just eating it in the morning.
Like a coffee cake. Yeah.
Pound cake is pound cake's the best thing that I have no idea how to make. And it's so good.
You said it's so good. What is your favorite thing to eat that you stash from others? You go, can't nobody eat this but me.
Oh man, I could tell people are going to give me hate for this because it's such I see the battles on it on the internet.
Not the battles.
Candy corn.
Oh.
I love candy corn. I usually buy, I love the autumn mix.
Okay.
It's got candy corn, Indian corn, and mellow cream pumpkins.
I've never had that. But you know what? We were talking about before. Over the years, candy corn has improved. I think when people think of candy corn, people automatically think of that old nasty candy corn that they used to get when they was children. So I think I think for a lot of people, it turned them off. So when you say candy corn, that's immediately what they think. But over the years, they've really have improved the quality of candy corn.
I love candy corn. And it's one of those things. My mom, like, I can tell, and I'm probably in the middle of September, my mom will send me a text from her in Walmart and be like, oh my God, it's out.
She ain't excited, is she?
So pumped. And I buy candy corn. I put it in all the little containers around the house and I just eat it. October, November, I just eat candy corn. It's so good.
Well,
I love the stuff.
Oh, your mother is like that about the same way that I am about Easter time.
Yes.
They have Easter egg Snickers.
Those are new. Those are new. It used to just be the Reese's Cups.
Right. You could only get them around Easter time. And when I see them, and I think you normally get four. So it's like two eggs that they've split in half to get you four. And when I see them, don't let me walk in there and see the Easter Bunny. I don't even care nothing about the Easter Bunny. I see the Easter Bunny and I immediately go to the candy section because I was like, where is it?
Yep.
Because
I need to get this.
Right. And don't let them have a two for $5 or a two for six, yeah. whatever, one of them sales, you know. And it was funny though, because I didn't realize how bad it was. I think one time we was walking and Roger kind of stood in front of me and I was looking at him like, why are you standing in front of me? Then I looked at him.
Just sitting right there.
Right. I was like, move, it's behind you, isn't it? And he licked the starter spot. I was like, move, you know I'm going to get about 8 of them. Move. And I freeze them.
Yeah.
And I am a happy, that right there. So I understand, I completely understand her joy.
Yeah. And nobody else eats it. So I don't have to actually hide it, but I hide it from myself because okay. I will just eat
hide
all
it for myself. I feel you on that because you're like, it's one of those things where you want to just surprise yourself. You hide it so good. You forget you hid it there. Mm-hmm. Did one random day. You'd be like, oh shit, I forgot I put this in here. Like a hidden surprise.
Oh, there's candy corn in here. I forgot about that.
Right. So I completely understand that. What is your favorite thing to drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic, or both?
Alcoholic or non-alcoholic. First of all, put them all in one pot. I like to drink beer, but my favorite thing in the world to drink is in a rocks glass, a little bit of ice, a double pour of Wild Turkey 101 with a splash of water on the top.
Hmm.
It is, there's better bourbons out there in terms of grading them, smoothness, great finish. But I like the fact that Wild Turkey, they call it the kicking chicken for a reason.
Oh.
And when it goes, it doesn't finish very smooth. It finishes with a fight. Like it's fighting you every sip. It fights
down your throat.
But I like that. And so that's why I don't like Maker's Mark, and I don't like,
okay,
I don't like Booker's. It's too smooth. I like that little bit of punch at the end when I drink it, and I love it. I love Wild Turkey is my favorite alcohol out there, and I've had way better things, and I love it. I like better things. I know it's not, but if I had all the money in the world, I'd still be a Wild Turkey drinker.
Ah. You know what? I don't know anything about Wild Turkey, but when you said Wild Turkey, I was like, you know what? I think that's too grown for me. I'm good.
It is. It's bourbon. It's to me, it's what bourbon's supposed to taste like.
Okay.
It's bourbon that's not been classed up. That's not been made nice. You didn't put a suit on it. It's bourbon that shows up in jeans and boots.
And say, do you want some of me?
Yeah. Hey, do you want to fight? Cause I'll fight you.
Right.
It's that sort of a drink.
It comes in angry.
Yeah. And that's the type of guy that I am. And that's the kind of guy I've always been is I drink Bud Light and yeah, I can afford nicer beer, but guess what? I don't like it. I like Bud Light and High Life and I like Wild Turkey and there's going to be I can tell when we have kids, we're going to have kids and you know how when you have kids, you got to hang out with the kids' parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to hang out with some guy that works a 9-to-5 and swears that some beer is the greatest beer and I have to try it.
Right.
And I'm just going to be like, listen, man, I just want to drink these 12 Bud Lights. Okay. And drink some Wild Turkey. Like, I don't need you to tell me that you brought these home with you from Europe.
That don't mean nothing to me, son.
You know what I need? I need that Wild Turkey and a little bit of Bud Light. That's what I need, ice cold Bud Lights.
Like, that's all I need in my life, sir. I don't know what you're trying to do, but this is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I can tell already. My kid's going to go to school and think, people are going to be like, oh, your dad must be poor. He drinks Bud Light only. No, my dad's not poor. He just likes Bud Light a lot.
Right. This is just what he prefers.
Yeah.
What is the worst thing you have ever ate and or cooked? Like, you was like, this is just, there's nothing worse than this.
Oh, man. I have thrown some stuff out. It was when I was a little bit younger. But in college, I made some gravy and I forgot to put salt in it. And it was just terrible.
Oh.
It was so bad. Salt, I had to throw it out.
Salt makes a difference.
I had to throw it out, and so I just poured it down the drain. The good thing was no one was home. So when they came home, the gravy was good.
Okay.
But I'll never forget making that gravy with no salt and just being happy that I got it to the consistency and then trying it and being like, oh, this is nasty.
Right.
Let me throw this away. I'm going to try again.
Right.
And the worst thing that I had that I didn't make, oh, man, there's some bad stuff out there.
That sounded serious.
Listen, I've dated several girls, and you know what? I'm not going to call names, but the girl that I dated in college, she was a white girl. She was born in Chicago, grew up in Connecticut.
Okay.
And this wasn't the worst food I've ever had. The food was actually decent, but it was Thanksgiving, which I'm used to excellent Southern Thanksgiving.
Right, where everybody pulled out their best.
And this was their best, but it was like salmon and like stuffing inside of the turkey. And I was like, that's not even enough stuffing. Like, how do you make stuffing sandwiches tomorrow with that? You can't do that. Why are there cranberries in this? That's not supposed to be there.
No.
And so it was one of those things where my whole family, I had football practice that day. So my whole family's in Atlanta having our Thanksgiving.
Right.
And then I had this, and I cried at dinner. And literally that day, my girlfriend was like, I can take you home if you want. Like, I can tell you're very upset. I can take you home. And I was like, yeah, please let me just go home.
Because this ain't going to cut it.
I was like, I just want to go home. Like,
You were traumatized.
It hurt. And it wasn't, listen, I'm from the South, and I've got there, look, my, I think it's just a regional thing where everybody in the South pretty much eats the same. You know?
A lot of the time, yeah.
We all eat the same. We all eat grains. We all eat turkeys. We prefer those turkeys to be fried.
Right.
And we do that. And so it's just different to have a different region. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't that it was bad food, but for a moment that big, and I'm a November 25th baby.
Oh.
And so Thanksgiving is my birthday and.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
It's my big holiday. And then, and this is not to get too sentimental on folks, but to me, Thanksgiving is what Christmas is supposed to be.
Okay. Where everybody's just happy and thankful.
Yeah, yeah, you're around your family and you care. And so Thanksgiving is the biggest holiday for me. And it's huge, so I love it.
Oh, what is the most unique thing you have ever eaten before?
I don't eat a lot of I don't eat no damn sushi.
Ah, not sushi. I love it.
The most unique thing I've probably eaten, I don't know, you know what? Maybe like real life barbacoa, like pig head.
Mm.
Like the cheeks and the whole deal, which is really, really good.
Nah, I haven't eaten that before. Ooh, that actually sounds really good.
It's my little brother married my whole family is extremely diverse. Like my sister-in-law is Mexican, like from Mexico, Mexican, not like just, oh, they're Mexican because they look brown.
Right.
They go to Mexico every year. My little brother's not going to be here for Thanksgiving because they're going to Mexico for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
My cousins are, I've got a couple of mixed cousins. And they live, my cousins grew up in Japan. And so, because their dad was in the military. So I've got all that. And so when we go to my sister-in-law's house for breakfast or for lunch, it's real authentic Mexican food.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I know she probably has stories and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, it's so great. The food is so good. And the cool thing was they asked me to, I always cook their Thanksgiving turkeys.
Oh.
I fry them and they love them. They asked me to cook when I was over there one time. They asked me to cook dinner and I cooked dinner and everyone was like, this is so good. And it was one of those things where that made me feel pretty good.
Right. Wow, it would make me feel proud too.
It was nice. It was really nice, and I couldn't ask for a better sister-in-law, to be honest. Like,
that's so sweet.
Like, it's great. She's fantastic. I love her. She's just so great. Like, we hang out, and she looks out for me, and I take care of her. And we were at the wedding, and I was like, Adriana, I'd really like to get a drink. And she goes, oh, you can have whatever you want. And so I was like, are you sure? So I go up and order a drink, and the guy goes, it's 5:15. The reception doesn't start till 6. I was like, what? And she walks up behind him in her wedding dress with this like 20-foot train. She walks up and goes, excuse me, you see this? Points up and down at herself. This is my wedding. This is my brother. Can you get him that double bourbon and water? And also, a round of tequila for the entire wedding party.
She was like, I'm paying for this. I don't blame her. You go, girl.
Yeah, she's so great. She's a model. She's a model / accountant.
Wow. Doing it all. Ooh, them are two extremes.
Yes.
Like, I'm pretty and I will take your ass to court.
Oh, she runs the books for her family's business. It's amazing.
Wow. Wow. You know what? You lived a very interesting life. And I know more recently you've been traveling. Like,
I hate it.
I've heard you say that before. Are there some interesting foods that you've tried while you've been traveling?
No, actually no, because I'm very, for all the love of trying new stuff and cooking in my kitchen, I don't like to try new stuff in other people's kitchens.
Ah, okay.
So when I go out, I try to order things that I know I'm going to like.
Okay.
Because you're out, you're in Oregon or you're in New York or you're in Denver, and the last thing you want to do is order something like that's your meal. It's not like you can go back in your pantry and come up with something new.
That's true too now.
That's your meal. That's what you get. And if it's not good, guess what? You don't get to eat anything else.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
So
you don't get to start over again.
Yeah, I try. I don't fly too close to the sun when I'm out of town.
I completely understand that.
Burgers, pizza, steak.
Okay.
I try to stick my landing every time. Right. Because the last thing I want to do is try something new and be like, oh, this is terrible. And they're like, well, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I have some granola bars in the room, so.
Right. Stuff that you know is very difficult to screw up.
Yep.
And I completely understand that.
Yep. It's more adventurous than my mom. I will eat at local places. I just try to order something familiar on a local restaurant. My mom is like, just give me a chain restaurant because I can't have these people out here playing with my stomach.
Oh, well, but you know what? Like I say, and me and Roderick, especially me, I will try anything. So my whole world has opened up because I used to be like that. If I didn't know what it was, I was trying to eat it. But as I got older, I got tired of hot dog, fish, chicken, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that food, but I was like, it's more food out in the world. And as I began to branch out and try different cultural foods, I began to be like, oh, this is good and this is good and this is good and this is good. You know, well, I don't like this, but I like it when it's made like this. So I began to, my palate began to become more complex. And you know what? Even with the foods that we love, they can actually be very complex if we're willing to branch outside of how we normally prepare them.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is the one thing I will say is like, I'll try, I eat, and it's not just say I only eat burgers and pizza when I go out. I eat Mexican, I'll eat Asian, I do this.
But I know people that won't even try that.
Yeah. My folks did a really good job of exposing me to things. And they made us, we ate Indian food when we were kids and we ate, you know, we did everything. And so, we tried this and we tried that. And so I've got an idea of what I like and what I do not like.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I will try different foods, different ways, because I might not like it fried, but I like it baked. I might not like it baked, but I like it sautéed. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I might not like a sauté, but I like it flambéed or whatever other funky method that they have out there.
I love a flambé. Listen, flambé is maybe the best way to eat food. I think it's so amazing when you just the fire on it and everything is so good.
Wow. Michael, I would like to thank you for your time. This has been so much fun. The time has actually flew by. Look, I was like, oh, the time has flew by. tell the people again how to get in contact with you.
They can holler at me. I'm at In the Bleachers on Twitter. That's, you know, the little ampersand, not an ampersand. That's an at. That's an and thing. The at thing, the two key, shift two. Yes. In the Bleachers. Shift to In the Bleachers on Twitter. And if you like college football, definitely give me a follow. I'm actually now in my busy season. And what I realized is that I do a pretty good job. I'm pretty good at my job. So
yes, you are, sir.
So I literally in the last between Thursday and today, I think I picked up 700 followers. So
yeah,
just from doing my job.
Yeah. And people actually,
give me money to do this.
Which is actually a great thing. When you can do it and people give you money for it, it's great. And for those of you that are like you've heard of him, or especially if you go back and hear a lot of the old shows that we've done, you may have heard us interact with him through fan mail and things like that. He's a great follow. He's a good friend of me and Roderick's. Please follow him and interact with him. He knows his stuff, guys. So just let you know, he knows his stuff. He knows it very, very well. Go ahead.
Well, not to interrupt, but one more thing, which I don't think I've said very publicly at all. Starting on Sunday, I will be co-hosting a show on Sirius XM Channel 93, from 9 to 11, a college football recap show. Completely forgot about that.
Okay. So for those of you out there that love college football, get on that.
I forgot all about that.
I said, yeah, you might want to push that. He's like, I forgot all about that. Because you do so much. I don't, you know, it's one of those things where you go, yeah, and I do that too, and that too. So I completely understand. So for those of you that want to check him out, that's everything about him. And I thank you for all the premium customers is going to hear this. And for everybody out there in the Black Guy Who Tips premium land, I thank you, everybody, and y'all have a good one. Bye.